Welcome to Building My Legacy Podcast. This podcast is designed for leaders and entrepreneurs who want to leave a legacy and will provide strategies that focus upon key elements for legacy creation, determining your desired impact and its benefit, increasing your legacy's reach by engaging key stakeholders, planning, prioritizing, and executing. Here's your host, Dr. Lois Sonstegard.
Welcome, everybody, to today's Building My Legacy podcast. I have with me today two very distinguished people. They are very much involved in stem cell research and bringing stem cell research, the knowledge they accumulate, in putting it into actual medical practice so it can change lives. So with me is Devin Patel. He is, I believe, more on the business side, making the dream become a reality in terms of product development. And then we have Dr. Anand Srivastava. And he is the brains behind this. He has mapped genomes. He has been studying stem cells for his career. So I want to talk a little bit about what they've done, where they've come, where they're going, and what we can anticipate in terms of their research and their product development. Their company, by the way, is called GeoStar, which stands for Global Institute of Stem Cell Therapy and Research. So with that, I will turn it over. How did the two of you get started? How did you meet? How did all of this come to fruition?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for a wonderful introduction. Again, I'm Devin Patel. I'm the president, CEO, and a co-founder of GeoStars, known as based in San Diego, California. The long name is Global Institute of Stem Cell Therapy and Research. And my partner, Dr. Anand Srivastava, he's the chairman and a co-founder. He's the man behind the science. He's the pioneer who started the entire modern field of stem cell science 22 years ago in the top university of Southern California, University of California, San Diego, Salk Institute, Barnum Institute, UC Irvine, UCLA. And his field of background or his field of expertise are so unique and so diverse that very few scientists in the world would have that. So just quickly, I'm going to share that with you. His background of expertise in stem cell biology, protein biochemistry, molecular biology, immunology, in utero transplantation of stem cell tissue targeting, gene therapy, and cancer research and clinical research, and many more fields I still don't know, even though we're working together for 22 years. So here, Dr. Anand Srivastava.
Okay. Thanks, Darren. And thanks, Lois, for a wonderful introduction and talking today with me. And as Devin told, I'm Dr. Anand Srivastava, chairman and co-founder of GeoStar, that is Global Institute of Stem Cell Therapy and Research, which is California, San Diego-based organization. And this is an interesting journey, actually. I'm working last almost 35 years in the field of academics and life science. So I started my journey from India. You can easily understand from my maybe accent. My mother tongue, that is Hindi, but of course we are talking in English right now. So I born in India, and I studied and completed my PhD, one of the best university of India called Banaras Hindu University. And so after doing my PhD, I was immediately awarded by Government of India to carry out my scientific career. And I was always interested to know how this metabolic diseases happens. And secondly, how we may really manage it. Because there is still today, you'll be surprised to know that we do not have any treatment for metabolic diseases. We have only managements. We cannot treat any metabolic disease. This is so sad, but this is the fact. And if critically you think, I do not want to go in much detail, but almost 70% of entire human disease contains the metabolic diseases, starting from cancer to degenerative diseases, losing the function of any organ, damage of the organs. So, and these metabolic diseases, aging itself is, you know, so it's a big question mark. And, you know, the dementia and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, where your neural system gets problem. So when I received this award from Government of India to work and advance my scientific career, I wanted to understand how we can manage this Alzheimer's. And I knew, and you know, India has a very ancient knowledge related to several kind of herbal products or plant products, to use those plant products for medicinal use. And this modern medicine started 100 years back, but diseases of human beings started thousands and thousands years back. You know, that time this modern medicine was not there, but still humans were getting treated. So what was that? Certainly it was nature. Okay. So the potential of nature is enormous. And I do not want to go too much in philosophy, but the point is that this earth has the dual nature. Okay. If there is day, there's night, there's cold, there's hot. So each positive has a negative side. Each negative has a positive side. That's the way earth balances itself. So basically each question has an answer. Important whether we know that answer or not, that is a question itself. But I am sure and be definite that there is an answer of each and every single question on this planet Earth. Without answer, this planet Earth cannot exist. So seeing that, I started thinking how I can manage this Alzheimer's disease. And there was a wonderful plant which is well known to enhance the brain function. And also, when I researched a little bit, I found that if you know a little bit Alzheimer's, like beta amyloid plaques that causes the damage of the neural cells. Again, there's a lot of complexities in the Alzheimer's disease. I do not want to go in much detail of the complexities to bore the audience, but this particular product, plant product, has two very specific character. One, to destroy the beta or diffuse the beta amyloid plaque. Second, they regenerate the neurons. So this way it may help in managing the Alzheimer's disease. So that's what I started working. And then immediately when I started working and I got few results, I received the international award from government of Japan and from the Prime Minister office as a young scientist. At that time, I think I was maybe 31, 32 year old.
You're now 102 year old.
Well, based on your credentials, I think maybe 250.
Anyway, so I moved to Japan, and then my job was there to work on the gene regulation and gene expression during the metabolic diseases and development of the living organism. And if you know, in 90s, the big program was going on, that is human genome program. And the idea was, this human genome program was, if we know the correct sequence of the human gene, then we can change the defective gene with the correct gene, so we can basically cure each and every single metabolic disease. That's the entire idea of human genome. And that's where the human genome program came, and sequencing and changing of defective gene with the correct gene called gene therapy. So the idea of gene therapy came. And then, so I was working on that, as Devan told, that I cloned almost 23 genes in very few months. And it was amazing to me also, and surprising to other people also, that how it is possible, but it happened. Maybe I was a little lucky. So I showed in 1998-99 that you can change the insert a pancreatic gene and express that pancreatic gene in very tissue-specific manner, means the gene is going to express inside the pancreas. So that opens the idea to develop the gene therapy for the diabetes and several other pancreas-related problems. And that I was presenting from Japan to USA. And here in San Diego, there was a huge conference which was covering animal and plant both. So you can understand, generally, conferences are very straightforward, for very focused for, okay, hepatology, neural conference, this. But this conference was plant and animal genome conference. So this entire life science was covered. So there I presented first time this finding that I can successfully change the pancreatic gene. People were surprised. And then I received several offers from US, starting from Maine to Harvard to UCLA and all these places. And I choose San Diego because of one thing, the UC San Diego is a very famous place. And then there is Salk Research Institute in San Diego, Scripps Research Institute. If you know the Scripps Watson and Crick model of the DNA, that was given by Scripps, of course, Watson and Crick. And then several extraordinary medical institute and research institute in San Diego. So I joined University of California, San Diego Medical School. And my job was to, and you will be surprised again, my job was not to do the stem cell science. My job was to develop the in utero gene therapy. And because
In utero. You know, isn't that fascinating? We have gone around and around because when I first started my career, we were doing, this was during, when Lola High and, you know, those people were around doing cardiovascular surgery. Our thinking then was if we could do uterine in utero surgery and neonates, they would recover faster, first of all. And secondly, they would be born without the severity of disease. So it's very interesting that you're doing that.
So that was the early stage. That's 2002, 2001. And you will be surprised how advanced Dr. Srivastava's research, even in those days, that nobody has reached even today, where what he did in those last 2001 to 2005. It's a very fascinating story how they would reprogram the fetus so that it can fight all known and unknown disease once it's born, including COVID. So it's very fascinating. Please, Dr. Srivastava, sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
No, Lois, you hit the target, basically. So I'm surprised that you worked on that also. So now it is very easy for you to understand that. So my job was to develop in utero gene therapy, and the concept exactly the same what you told. The idea that because generally we know most of the time that this particular fetus may have some kind of genetic disease. So why not to go inside the uterus when the baby is developing and then change the gene there? The benefit of that is, first, that fetus does not have well-developed immune system, so there is no chance of rejection of that gene. And second, it may get accepted and integrated more better way. So baby will born as a healthy baby. So that's the idea was in utero gene therapy. And I'm talking 2000, 22 years back. So I did it. I showed it, and then we published the paper in 2002, 2003, 2004, like that, 2005. We gave the term also tissue targeted in utero gene delivery. Then we thought, why to do surgery to insert a gene or directly to the uterus? Is it possible to inject to mother peripheral blood? And then that gene can go and target a particular tissue where you want it to go. So that's the tissue targeted in utero gene delivery. So we gave this term tissue targeted in utero gene delivery in 2002. And for that, I received the Kyoto Clinical Award in 2002 or 3. I don't remember correctly, but some two or three maybe. So important is that I was working on this, but I realized very soon that this is excellent technology. And this is the real cure also, because if you do gene therapy, then you are basically changing the defective gene. And generally, metabolic diseases are related with some of the genes. So you can basically cure a disease. The point is that it's so complex to do. And you need extraordinary infrastructure, and you also have to train clinicians. Mm-hmm. And I also thought that clinicians are already overloaded with the patients. So it's very difficult for clinicians to come in the lab for 2 years to really come and know and learn how to do this gene therapy, cloning, cutting, pasting, all these things. And then I was thinking, and if there is some problem or some here or there little bit mistake of inserting the gene, then the expression may be very different and it may be much, much more problematic for the human beings. So there are a lot of things, positive and negative both. I'm not telling that is not very good idea to do gene therapy. That is the best one to do if somebody can do correctly. That is the really real cure for lot of diseases, but it's complex. That's all I'm trying to say. Then I was thinking what may be the little easier way, though everything is complex, but little easier I thought because about the stem cells, because we know, and I was working on developmental biology, so I knew very well there is a master cell in the body which makes entire body. Then what is the body? Body is nothing but the combination of the organs. So it means this master cell makes entire, each and every single organ. Then I thought, is it possible to bring this master cell in the lab? Can we culture it? Can we make billions of the cells in the lab without changing its character? And is it possible to differentiate these cells into different kind of tissue or organs? And that's the start of the stem cell science, this modern stem cell science. We already... And clinicians and scientists working on stem cell, that is bone marrow, you know, the bone marrow transplant, that is blood stem cell, or you can say hematopoietic stem cell transplant. It's very old technology for curing several kind of blood related disease like leukemia, lymphoma, thalassemia, sickle cell anemia. So, but this modern stem cell, which is repair the damaged organ or regenerate the damaged organ, is very new technology, which started almost in 2000. So it started by me and few more scientists in San Diego, California, and few other countries, but very, very few people. And so that's what I started doing this together with gene therapy, which was my main job at University of California, San Diego Medical School. So, and I got little success culturing the cells. And I showed first time that I cultured, then I differentiated. Then I thought, is it possible to really repair the damaged brain using the stem cells? Because we always knew that if the brain is damaged, you cannot repair. Or if the neurons are damaged, you cannot repair. Then I showed first time in 2005-06 that, and published in topmost journal called Stem Cells, that you may repair the damaged brain, and that's opened the new field. And the medical school started teaching that if a brain is damaged, you may repair using stem cells. Then I saw first time that blood can be generated using stem cells, because again, I was thinking blood is a big deal, because every time you have to match, and there's always chances of contamination or maybe transferring of disease from one person to another person. Then I thought, is it possible to differentiate these cells into the blood cells? And if we can, we can solve several problems related to the blood. And it has enormous value to treat several kind of diseases. So I published 2003, 2004, 2005, and I created real red blood cell, enucleated. And O negative, that is universal donor.
Right.
And that's right now we are under the process of going for clinical trial and manufacturing in the bioreactor to produce in large amount for human use. But that Devan will tell in much detail about that to you. And then I showed autoimmune diseases are the big problem, like LS, MS, Crohn's. Most of the metabolic diseases are arthritis, you know, related with the autoimmunity. Type 1 diabetes is one of them. So I showed first time in 2007, again published with, that autoimmune diseases maybe and Crohn's disease maybe managed using stem cells. So a lot of things. And then because stem cells may regenerate the damaged organ, that's the reason it's also called regenerative medicine. So that's my journey with stem cell science. And right now, you know, we are having several clinic and institute around the world. And then we'll tell much more detail about all those things. So Lois, this is my journey in short.
Your journey is remarkable. It's fascinating. So let me ask you some questions. And I want to talk about your hospitals because you're building stem cell regeneration hospitals, and you're doing that in India. But before we go there, I want to ask you a little bit more about stem cell, because in a sense, there's a controversy about using stem cells, right? How do we get stem cells? Where do we get them from? And so would you speak to that a little bit? Because part of what I'm understanding is you're growing them in using very different mediums appropriate to what it is that you're working on. But would you please speak to that a bit?
So stem cell which we are using right now is adult stem cell. That's called, most of the time we are using mesenchymal stem cell, and is coming from adipose tissues or cord or peripheral blood or bone marrow. So there's no controversy was in early 2000 to 2004. And that is also a very interesting story, actually. So that was the embryonic stem cell. And that time the embryonic stem cell, for the research purpose, it started from the embryonic stem cell, but nobody is using embryonic stem cell right now because we advanced the science so much that we don't need to use embryonic stem cell. There is another technology called induced pluripotent stem cell, that is iPSCs. Those technology that I can take the skin cell or any adult cell of the body, and I can reverse age that to zero stage, that is called a kind of embryonic stem cell in the lab. So we don't need to use embryonic stem cell. So again, it's a lot of detailing for the things, and I think you have very limited time for us today. So
well, we may have to have more conversations, because I think this is very important. It is we need to look at how are we going to treat and cure some of these problems, because you look in our country, just type 2 diabetes alone, how many people that impacts, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So Devin, talk a little bit about the hospitals, what it is, how you're bringing this to market, because it's one thing to have knowledge, it's another thing to bring it to market.
So we spend a lot of time in research, many years, and at that time, 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 2007, 8, there is not much coming to the clinical practices. Everybody's doing research. A lot of money was coming, as Dr. Srivastava said. A $3 billion funding came through Serum, California Institute of Regenerative Medicine, established after 2004 when the Arnold Schwarzenegger became a governor and people of California voted for stem cell research. And $3 billion was funded. And that money started coming to the different university bosses, whether they were stem cell experts or not, but they were the top bosses. So they would start getting, but not much into thoughts into bringing it to the clinical practice. And Dr. Srivastava is all about how do we make a difference to the people. His whole career, his whole devotion is to how we make human life better. And our whole founding principles of GeoStar is this is the most elite, expensive, and advanced science of mankind. And our job is to make it available to the masses, make it accessible to the masses, make it affordable to the masses. So how do you make most expensive, elite, and advanced science available, affordable, and accessible? It's a tall call. So that's why we started talking around the world to the world governments, presidents, prime ministers, and kings and queens of the countries, and show them a potential of this science, which eventually could help their population to live disease-free life or age without aging, because Dr. Srivastava's early research was all about aging. So he is one of the top guy in the world. And when it comes to the research on aging, he's the top guy in the world. when it comes to stem cell neurology as a maximum contribution in field of stem cell neurology in the world. So he was the right guy. And he said, I'm frustrated. This has to go to the clinical practices. And we said, okay, you know, forget it. We're going to start our own institute and we're going to start working around the world and we're going to start. So we started building our own institute, building our own stem cell research institute and also our stem cell treatment hospitals. It's a combination. It's bed to bench side. Bench to the bedside. We started working together where we would have our own research labs and clinical labs and the hospital together. So we built the first hospital inaugurated by Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi, in India in 2011. That was the world's first dedicated multi-specialty tertiary care stem cell treatment hospital, 125 bed with the state-of-the-art lab. And that started the whole process of taking to the masses. And then we develop into Mexico and in other parts of the world and all over the places where those governments were very friendly and wanted us to help them develop their science and bring it to the people. So just right now, we're building world's largest stem cell treatment hospital in the world with the Indian government of India, where all the people who cannot afford will come for the stem cell treatment for lymphoma, leukemia, thalassemia, sickle cell anemia, which would cost us $250,000 in America. It's going to be funded by government, and we have brought the cost down because we're hardcore researchers. We brought the cost down to 95% to almost $15,000 to $25,000
per person.
Per treatment or person, and government will be subsidizing all that. So the person who would come there would pay $0. So that allows us to access through. So collaboration with the government allowed us to access to the infrastructure, access to the money, and access to the people. So just in India, we're working with the four state governments and developing the stem cell transplant program for a populace of 155 million people. In China, we started working and then things happened, but huge projects over there too. Then in the Middle East and also in Thailand and also in Eastern Europe and Europe, we have a lot of projects coming up. And of course, Mexico and South America, all those places, we have all the projects going on. And then COVID happened and everything went total stop. So Dr. Srivastava, when COVID came in March 2020, if you remember March 2020, 1 month later, when nobody knew what to do with it, how to handle this, he proposed the solutions to US FDA, and we got the US FDA approval to treat COVID patients with our proprietary stem cell treatment. And we treated our first patient in New York who was in coma because of a COVID for 6 weeks. He was paralyzed because he had a stroke. His lungs were damaged. His kidney was damaged. He was in dialysis. His liver was damaged. So basically, this man has no chance. We brought him home. So we were all over the news during that time.
So you brought him home. He was recovered. What happened to him neurologically?
He's fine. He's back.
He recovered neurologically.
Yeah, he recovered. Yeah, yes, yes. He's okay. Of course, he has to do his therapy and everything. But and then we have been able to help several people in that. So what that did, that kind of triggered for us to take that COVID technology public, because that was the emergency approval. So now we have to do full clinical trial to make it work, right? So that for a post-COVID complication, because just between Europe and America, there's 140 million people are suffering from post-COVID complication. So now we are taking that company public, which has a $1.4 trillion addressable market for our technology. And then that led to parking 5 more technology underneath, which is Dr. Srivastava talk about the universal grade red blood cell, because there's so much blood shortage around the world, 100 million unit blood shortage every year. And you have to make match, right? If you don't match my blood, I cannot take yours. I cannot give you mine. So he created a universal grade O negative. So no match required, created a bioreactor. So control environment, cleanest blood, an unlimited resource. So we parked that technology underneath, then diabetes type 2 clinical trial, then cancer clinical trial, then stem cell-based skincare and stem cell-based anti-aging treatment. So we are taking those 6 technology public, first time in 22 years. Now we are bringing and creating this opportunity for public to participate and hedge against not only inflation, but to really multiply their money. And first time to the world, we are coming to the public. We have funded our projects and our research by ourselves all the time. Finally, we are coming to the public and bringing this opportunity for public to participate in the most advanced technology so that we can live a disease-free life and age without aging.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
So tell me, with all of what you've done and what you've developed, with what you see on the horizon, where are your biggest challenges?
I will let Dr. Srivastava talk about that, because he faces challenge every day, because for scientists, no day goes without challenge, because every time they're looking for a new solution, better solution, faster solution, safer solution. So that's the perfect question for Dr. Srivastava.
Yeah. So as Devin told, challenges are the name of the research. You know, research and challenge, both are the same word, basically.
Research and challenge.
So particularly for the regenerative medicine, or if I talk very specifically about stem cell science, there are a lot of clinical trials are going on, and we have very good system, at least in USA, that is our FDA, who has very specific guidelines for the stem cell science. And if we talk about stem cell, there are two kinds of stem cells. When we use our own stem cells and infuse in our own body to treat some disease, that is called autologous stem cell transplant. And once we use somebody else's stem cells and to treat somebody else's body, that is, means there is a donor and another is the host, you can say. So that is called allogeneic stem cell transplant. So both are different. Autologous is much, much acceptable. And then again, it has its benefit as well as shortcomings, because several things may not be treated using that. And it's safe because it's coming from patient own body, going to patient own body. And so safety-wise, that is much, much safer. And I'm not talking only one kind of stem cell, which we are generally using today, that is mesenchymal stem cell. I'm talking all kind of stem cell, like hematopoietic and progenitors, different organ-related stem cell. So it's a very, very vast kind of science. So challenges are a lot. I personally think that we should be, or regulatory agencies should be more open, or maybe change a little bit policy related to stem cell science, because stem cell is a natural product. It is not manufactured or synthesized like a chemical. Mm-hmm. The modern medicine, which we say allopathy, or allopathic medicine, that is a synthetic medicine, okay? Whenever we synthesize any chemical, that comes under the allopathic medicine. When we use any natural product, that comes in the herbal medicine, or you can say natural medicine. It is not actually the allopathy, basically, because it's not synthesized inside a factory. Is given by nature. So stem cell is given by nature. And stem cell is a cell. Cell is the unit of life. Okay. So when I'm saying the unit of life, we have to understand that cell has all those characters a life may have. Okay. Every single thing. So when you inject or infuse a cell inside the person's body, that cell cross-talk with that body. That cell has the ability to cross-talk with that body. And depending on that person's entire biochemistry, physiology, molecular biology, and psychology, and lifestyle, that cell may behave accordingly inside the body. So because it is not a chemical, it is not going to work like a physics. It is going to work like a life. Okay. So we cannot pass the data of the cellular therapy or just the data of the cellular therapy on the basis of the chemical therapy. Okay. Because physics is a string, is a line, but life cycle, life is not as like a straight line. I just give an example. I may like something. Suppose five people are sitting inside a room. All five are not normal people on the definition of a normal people. There is a definition of normal people in medical science. All five are coming on the definition of normal people and they are talking on some subtopic, and all of a sudden one person opens the door, a strange person, and starts shouting on those people. So somebody may get very offended. Somebody may smile on that person. Somebody may be so much agitated that he may bang that person. Okay? So it's so different reaction of the just the word of a person. That person is not touching anybody, basically.
Right, right.
So you see that the cell of the person. So cell is the same thing. So we have to start thinking at what level and how to really make a valuable data through the regulatory agency for the cellular therapy. It can never be work or behave like a chemical therapy. So we have to be little bit more, make some regulation which can be based on the how much benefit a cellular therapy is giving, depending on a personal psychology, lifestyle, genetic structure, biological, biochemistry, food habit, hundreds of variations there in each person. So you cannot, it is very difficult. If the regulatory agencies are going to judge the cellular therapy on the basis of chemical therapy, they will never get a statistical significance of the cellular therapy. Because until the population of trial is humongous, like maybe 1 million or 2 million people.
Right. So what you're saying is, what's going on inside that individual, their psychology, their attitude, their mindset, their health lifestyle, that communicates to the cell you have injected that says, yep, I'm going to work with you. Nope, not such a great place to be. You go off and do your own thing. We really don't want you. I mean, is that kind of the chatter that goes on inside the body from what you're saying?
You are right. I give you a very simple example again. Suppose you a person is very positive person. Very positive. So that is just, I'm giving synonyms of stem cell. Suppose the stem cell is that positive person. Very positive to make everything good. Now you say that positive person, you have, and you have 20 very depressed person. And now you say this person who's very positive, one person, and live with this 20 depressed person inside a room, inside a home, and make them positive. Okay? And you are not going to open yourself to outside of the world. You live for 2 months with this depressed people to make them positive. You are very positive, and that person is very positive. Do you think that positive person living with 20 depressed people who is not positive at all will not get affected by their depression at all?
Yeah.
Little bit. But if this 20 people are normal people, but having little bit problem, and then this positive person, and these are also positive person, but having some problem, and this positive person is going to be with them, motivate them, it is easy for this positive person to make these all 20 people more positive and come out with a significant positive result. So this is what is stem cells. So if a negative environment, a negative thinking, a negative complexities cell is going to talk. And we don't know the entire biology of a human being till today. We don't know at all. So what I think, if we want to see the significance of cellular therapy, we must first make sure that this is safe. Safety is most important thing. And second, how much it is going to make the change after doing the cellular therapy. That may be 1%, that may be 10%, depending on the that person's entire personality.
So,
and when I say personality, means biological, genetic, and all these things.
Okay. What that means, though, is what you have to control in your research, the variables are unlimited, because you're looking at, you know, you take diabetes, for example. We know diet makes a difference. Getting people to actually want to change diet is very difficult, right? So you're saying that all of these factors have an impact on your body's ability to receive in a healthy way a gene that you introduce to it. And so, right? And so
stem cell that we introduce.
Yes. For your stem cell that you introduce. So you, when you're doing your research to look at significant results, does it make a difference? You have to control for an incredible number of variables.
You are right. Targeted, like you suited exact point, in fact.
And that's what Dr. Srivastava was saying for many years, that this cannot be dealt like a pill with placebo-controlled double-blinded study. It would not give you a verifiable significant data, because this is a personalized medicine and precision medicine at its best. It is targeted for that person. And we have seen the people with the positive attitude have a much better outcome versus people who come in who did not have a positive attitude about that particular therapy, because we have treated thousands of patients around the world for the last 15 plus years. So we have seen that even in our patients' outcome. We have treated all kind of patients from all different kind of diseases around the world. And it is very important that that's why we do pre and post treatments also, where we oxygenate their body. We do many other things to prepare that body and their mind in a such a receiving mode. So when the cells are being infused, then these cells can go and do the job that they're designed to do, versus they get lost in the fight.
Got it. Wow. What a journey. What a contribution. Our time is almost up. What have we missed out or left out that we absolutely need to cover? And I think we need more conversations on this topic. So what have we missed that you would like to make sure?
First of all, thank you so much for asking very important questions. I can see the smile on Dr. Anand's face, like, wow, this person understands my problems and my challenges. So that's great. And we really appreciate your questions. And basically, all we wanted to just cover again is that now finally we have brought this opportunity for people to participate physically in terms of getting rid of their diseases, financially, if they wanted to invest, because the first time in 22 years, we are bringing this to the public for them to invest so they can hedge against their inflations and multiply their money. And at the same time, we are gearing up for several for clinical trials in European Union, UK, and America, and India. Uh-huh. So there will be four different places where people may able to participate in these clinical trials. And this is going to be basically, we have already studied the safety. We have plenty of safety data. We have plenty of efficacy data. So people who are coming to this clinical trial is not a guinea pigs, because I do my own stem cell treatment, anti-aging treatment every year. So it is nothing new, that, or you're hearing from the horse's mouth. I'm the CEO and the co-founder, and I've been doing it for me, for my parents, my family and friends. So, and many, many people, as I said, we have treated thousands of patients. So whoever comes to the clinical trial, they don't have to think that they're guinea pigs. Rather, they're basically participating in the process that we need to go through FDA, so that it can now be available to the masses. Our goal is to make it available to the masses as fast as possible, as safe as possible, and as affordable as possible. And the goal is to bring it the cost down so anybody and everybody can afford, so you don't even have to worry about whether your insurance is going to pay or not. And that's why sometimes I kind of come across very feared CEO in the life science, like, because he's like, this guy is making it all affordable, then where are we going to make money? But if you treat 1 billion people with $1,000, that's a $1 trillion revenue, if you really wanted to understand the mathematics. And this world is so huge. There are 8 billion people and we have so many diseases. There's so much opportunity, but in a positive way, not the opportunity to make money. I'm talking about opportunity to really help people live disease-free life and age without aging.
Live a disease-free life. I think that's a beautiful way to end our discussion. For those of you who are listening, we will have information about GeoStar and about what they're doing. We'll have contact information there so you can get a hold of Devin Patel, as well as Dr. Anand
Srivastava.
There you go. So you can get in contact with him if you want information about how to perhaps look at this for your clinical practice, other research you're doing, or if you're a consumer and looking at your own health, this may be a great resource. So thank you so much for taking your time and sharing your story with us today.
Thank you, Louis. And I will add at last that this is the most natural way to manage our diseases, because stem cells is given by the nature. We are not manufacturing.
Stem cells are given by nature itself. What a beautiful way to think of it. Thank you.
Thank you. For
those of you who are listening to Building My Legacy podcast today, thank you for being with us. And remember, life can be as you create it if you get the right information and the right resources. So take the time to look at the research that's being done and what opportunities are out there for you. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to Building My Legacy podcast with Dr. Lois Sonstegard. To book your appointment with Dr. Sonstegard, visit www.buildtomorrow.com.